Well, it's a cold, icy day in Southwest Virginia, and it's disappointing that we at First Baptist Church of Ewing, Virginia, don't get to meet together in person. But I'm very grateful for modern technology that allows us to at least make some connection in this way through Facebook. And I hope that all of you are staying safe and warm at home. Hopefully the weather will clear up and we'll have the snow melt off pretty soon. We'll be able to get back together next Sunday, Lord willing. But I thought I would share with you a word of Scripture taken this morning from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's fine. Matthew 11, verse 28, where our Lord says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of y'all know that I'm a big fan of church history, and I especially have enjoyed learning and studying the life of the famous Protestant reformer Martin Luther. Early in his life, some of y'all have heard part of this story before, that's okay, but early in his life, Luther had intended to become a lawyer. He had no religious ambitions, but one day, at age 22, he was traveling through the countryside, and a terrible thunderstorm came along. Rain poured down so thick that he could hardly see, and lightning was flashing all around him. It was a storm dreadful enough to strike fear in any man. Luther, by his testimony later, tells us that he felt as if God himself were growling at him from heaven, preparing to unleash his mighty wrath. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, a lightning bolt streaked out of the sky and struck the ground so close to Luther that he was thrown to the ground. He slowly lifted himself up, surprised that he was still alive, and he decided right then and there to become a monk. That's what people who have a religious turn back in those days did. They became monks. You see, that storm caused Luther to ponder the state of his soul. He realized that he was a sinful man, deserving of God's wrath, and that God had every right to strike him dead. He entered the monastery as a monk, determined to become right with God, to do whatever it took to rid himself of sin and find God's favor instead of God's wrath. In the monastery, Luther entered upon the most rigorous system of religious discipline that you can imagine. He fasted and prayed constantly. He worked zealously at whatever chores and duties were laid upon him. And he was in the confessional constantly, confessing his sins to the abbot in the monastery every day. Unfortunately, no matter how hard he worked, Luther found himself unable to shake his sinfulness. He understood that God is absolutely holy, perfect, and that God required absolute perfection of his creatures. And any sin, no matter how small, was infinitely reprehensible in God's eyes. Knowing this, Luther was in that confessional more than anyone else in the monastery. Sometimes his confession would last for hours as he recited the most trivial of matters, such as, hey, I was angry. I had an angry thought about Brother John yesterday, or I let my morning prayers be interrupted by a fly buzzing about my head, or something like that, right? In fact, Luther's confessions became so frequent and tedious that the abbot one day screamed at him, "Martin, if you're going to come to confession, then for Pete's sake, bring something to confess." But for a man who is gripped with fear before a holy God, Knowing that the smallest infraction was worthy of hell, Luther was compelled to be there. Yet he was unable to get the relief that he was looking for. His burden of sin never went away. No matter how hard he tried to get rid of it, there was always new sins to confess. His heart always seemed to want to sin. And there was always the question of whether God had really even forgiven him of his past sins. The question that plagued Luther was, how can an unrighteous man stand before a perfectly righteous God? And this question was for him a wearisome burden. Is Luther's experience anything like yours? Are you struggling with sin in your life? Are you working as hard as you can to please God? And yet you find this work, at least sometimes, burdensome, even perhaps impossible? Regardless of how much you do, how much you confess, sinful habits still linger, guilt still grips your heart, and you wonder if God really accepts you? If this is you, then our text this morning was written for you. Let's read it one more time. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here we find a wonderful invitation. Here Jesus raises his arms to guilt-laden sinners and says, "Come unto me." Because of this impossible burden of attaining righteousness by works, Christ invites weary sinners to trust in Him for salvation. I want you to note three things about this text, this verse in Matthew 11:28. First of all, notice that Jesus invites laborers. There are some people to whom this invitation is not made. People to whom this invitation is meaningless. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden." What he's doing is inviting those who labor under the heavy burden of sin. Those who know they are sinners who deserve God's wrath and who strive to be rid of that sin. And who are fearful of the consequences of not doing so. Of course, the Bible tells us that everyone is a sinner. Everyone has failed to live up to God's righteous demands, His righteous standards. For all have sinned, we're told in Romans, and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner. But, unfortunately, not everyone knows it. Some people are self-righteous. There are people who believe there is such a thing as right and wrong, such a thing as sin, but they believe that they are okay. These are people who have deceived themselves into thinking that they have made the grade, who have lived up to the letter of the law. Such were the Pharisees in the context of our verse this morning. Jesus talks to the Pharisees back in verses 16 to 20. In that context, the Pharisees are people who thought they had kept the law. They thought that they were righteous. Like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, you know the law. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal," and so on. And the young man said, "Well, I've done all that." At least he thought he had, right? "I'm not so bad. I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough. God will accept me." This is their thinking. Jesus' invitation means nothing to such people. The words of this text are meant for those whose eyes have been opened to the reality of sin in their lives, who know that even their righteous deeds are filthy rags in God's sight, and who labor in their soul to be free of their sin, free from their sin. Secondly, I want you to notice that Jesus invites weary laborers. Those who are aware of sin and with sin aware of the judgment of God are prompted, tempted, if you will, to work for divine approval. This is the burden Jesus is talking about. This is the burden the Pharisees tried to carry and which they placed on the backs of others who struggled with sin. People often think, as Martin Luther did, that if they do enough good deeds, God will smile on them and forgive their shortcomings. There are countless thousands of religious people, even people in Christian churches, who believe they can work their way to heaven. And they never stop thinking this way. They never get tired of stacking up the bricks of their good works, thinking that they will succeed in building a stairway to heaven. Jesus' invitation is not meant for these people either. The self-righteous, tireless laborers don't think they need Jesus. Jesus' wonderful invitation is meant for laborers who are weary of their labors. Laborers like Martin Luther, who finally came to realize that his labor was hopeless. The Bible itself tells us that it's hopeless. If you look with me in Romans chapter 3, Paul says in verses 19 and 20, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law of God is perfect, and it requires perfect obedience. One sin, just one, and we are forever short of that perfection. So the word of God tells us that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. That's why Jesus told the crowds that were standing around during his Sermon on the Mount, who looked up to the Pharisees as paragons of virtue. He said to them, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." No doubt the crowds gasped in horror when they heard Jesus say that. Who could live up to such a standard? The answer, of course, is no one. No one will achieve enough righteousness by their own efforts. Are you weary? Have you been laboring to win God's approval, only to find that it's never enough? You can't seem to shake your sinful habits. Guilt weighs you down? If the answer is yes, Jesus says to you, "Come unto me." And that takes me to the third thing I want you to see in this verse. Jesus invites weary laborers to rest in him. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Rest from working for righteousness. Rest from trying to please God by your own efforts. Rest from trying to earn your salvation. How? How can coming to Jesus bring us rest from all this? Because in him, we receive a righteousness that's not our own. Our own righteousness is imperfect, as we've seen. But in Christ, we get a righteousness that's not our own, a righteousness that's perfect and comes from God, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know how Martin Luther finally found relief from his toilsome labors? Well, he was a professor of theology and Bible, and he was given the task by his superiors of teaching his students, lecturing through the letter to the Romans. And he came to this text in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul talks about the gospel. Romans 1, 17 says, in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Luther was puzzled by that text. He says the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. That was perplexing to him. How can the righteousness of God be good news? Isn't it the righteousness of God that condemns us because we don't measure up? How can that be good news? But it finally dawned on Luther as he was studying this text intently and saw it in its larger context. He finally realized that it's not talking about the righteousness that God has, which is perfect and does stand over against us as a standard that condemns us. It's not the righteousness that God has, but the righteousness that God gives to sinners by faith in Jesus. That's what it says in the text, right? The righteous shall live by faith. Luther learned that the righteousness of God is the righteousness that comes from God through faith. Look at Romans chapter 3 again, verses 21 and 22. Paul writes, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believed, for there is no distinction. The righteousness of God that comes to all who believe. And look down at Romans 4, verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, you see that? Who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Who justifies the ungodly. His faith is credited as righteousness. Weary laborers, Christ calls out to you and he says, cease your labors. Stop working to earn your salvation. Lay down this heavy burden and come to me. I will give you rest. You see, Christ has labored for us. He's labored on our behalf. He has lived a perfect life that you cannot live. So those who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Those who come to him, who give up their own self-righteous labors, who place their faith in him, who believe that his labor was sufficient to satisfy God's demands upon them, those who rest in Christ will find rest for their souls. They will find forgiveness and acceptance with God forever. The law can no longer threaten those who rest in Christ. Romans 10, verse 4 says that Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. There is no longer anything to fear, no works left to be done before God will save you. There is only rest, sweet rest. Christ invites weary laborers to rest in him for salvation. If you are a weary laborer, if you have been striving for God's favor and found it a hopeless task, I invite you this morning, come to Christ. Your works cannot save you. Working for God's favor only makes your situation worse as you pridefully continue to believe that you can make it without Jesus. But friend, you don't have to. You can cease your labors even now and come to Christ for rest. If the Holy Spirit has revealed to you your sinful condition and the hopelessness of earning salvation, if you see your helplessness this morning, come to Jesus and He will give you rest for your soul. Well, that's what I have for you this morning. I hope that you've been blessed by this, that you see how wonderful it is to know Christ. If you're already a Christian, already a believer, you know, we need to hear this too. We need to be reminded of the gospel, don't we? Every day of our lives. It's not by our works that we are accepted before God, but it's by Jesus' works in His life, His perfect life, and His death on the cross that saves us and makes us presentable to God. That His righteousness that covers us, His atoning death that pays the penalty for our sins. And that's all by grace and not by any works that we could ever do, past, present, or future. And if you're not a Christian, if this message is something new to you, if you're one of those people who've been working for your salvation, I hope you've listened this morning and that you will come to Christ and cease your labors and be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone this morning. Well, I hope you all have a great day. Stay warm and stay safe, and God bless.